This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there were three friends, and they died, and they go to heaven. And St. Peter greets them at the pearly gates, as they would say, and says to them, to get into heaven, you have to pass a quiz. The quiz question is, what is Easter? And the first friend, he steps up and he says, well, Easter is the holiday when a big fat man comes down your chimney and hands out presents. And St. Peter shakes his head and says, no, that's not right. It's Christmas, but come on in. The second friend stands up and says, of course, that's Christmas. Everybody knows that Easter is the day when children put on masks and go door to door saying trick or treat and asking for candy. God, no, St. Peter says, you're thinking of Halloween. And with a sigh of frustration, St. Peter looks at the third friend. Have any of you, not all of you, ever heard of Easter? Do you know what Easter is? And he says, and he looks annoyingly at the third friend in hope. And the third friend apologizes for his friends. He says, of course, St. Peter, I know what Easter is. Easter is when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was crucified under Pontius Pilate. For the forgiveness of our sins. He suffered, died, and was buried. And they put his body in a tomb and rolled a big stone in front of it. And on the third day, the disciples rolled the rock away and they saw Jesus Christ had risen from the dead in fulfillment of the scriptures. Finally, finally, St. Peter exclaims, but the friend continues. And as he rose from the dead, Jesus saw his shadow, and we got 6 more months of winter. Imagine for a minute that you are one of the disciples who just witnessed Jesus crucified and buried. For 3 years, you had followed this man. You had learned his teaching. You had believed his proclamations, and you loved him. And then he's gone. Yes, Jesus had warned them several times during their life together that this very thing was going to happen. But let's be honest. How many of us ever listen to something that is told the first time or the second time or the third? So I imagine a room full of tired and weary and confused and sad, bewildered and shocked men and women. Slumped into the corners, the chairs, on the floor, perhaps an uneasy silence as the events of the previous 2 days settle in. And I imagine somewhere in the room a loud sigh amidst the weeping. And someone says, well, what are we going to do now? Do we go back to fishing for fish? Do we return to our homes, rejected, afraid, looking foolish? Silence, dismay, sorrow, and probably an eerie stillness. When in your life has a tragedy pulled the rug right out from under you? Has there ever been a time when everything you've worked for, dreamed about, prayed for, hoped for, ended suddenly, harshly, abruptly, without explanation? Maybe you have found yourself breathless, sitting in a room, wondering, what in the world am I going to do now? A pastor and writer by the name of Carrie Newhoff writes that God understands how brutal we often are and how awful sometimes our human nature can be. God sees how violent we can be toward one another and even toward ourselves. But instead of letting our humanity be the final word, God enters right into the mess of humanity through Jesus Christ and conquers hate with love. We, humanity, threw the worst of what we had directly at Jesus. Hatred, abuse, ridicule, rejection, and death. And God turned it into life. Not just life for himself, but life for us. For all of humanity. Jesus died and overcame death to show the power of life. The power of life in the way of Jesus. So much power that this way has is that whatever life throws at us, we can find peace. And now peace, not the same thing as indifference. The way of Jesus is not one of ambivalence. Rather, God can use whatever the world throws at us, even death, to create possibilities for something new. I'm sure there are many of you here who have a story where God made something new in your life. And I want to share a story with you. And I asked permission to share this story. There's a woman by the name of LaVon Brown. I met LaVon when I was serving at Episcopal Day School as their chaplain. She was the custodian. And her young adult child was killed by homicide. Now, this had happened years before I had met her. And as I got to know her, I started to learn more of her story. And for years, she had a dream of a garden, a place where family and friends of loved ones killed by homicide could go and find peace. And she was very clear not to go. Yes, it's a place to mourn, but really a place to remember the good times. To go and remember their shared stories. So she and other parents who have lost children through violence formed a group here in Pensacola called PAIN, Parents Against Injustice and Negligence. And they found a location for this garden that she had dreamed of. And they would go and gather there over the years in their lawn chairs. And they would share a lunch. And they would sit and share stories as they sat in front of this empty space that they had a vision of. And they would dream and pray for how it might be transformed. How this pain that they all shared might be transformed into something new, something beautiful. And they were parents, hardworking, just like us. So they weren't really sure where to start. They didn't know how to raise the money or who they needed to talk to, but they prayed. And they started talking to the people that they knew in their life. And this is where I entered into the story. LaVon would share with me her dream of this garden. And she would also lament and share, I don't know what to do next or how to get this going. But she and the other parents kept sharing their story. And I remember thinking, LaVon, you have a lot of relationships in this community, A, by your very nature, but also what you do. So she started to talk to those in the community that she had a relationship with. The mayor, our previous mayor, being one of them. And she shared with him about this vision of this peaceful spot with benches to rest and a quiet pond with a fountain that provided a gentle backdrop for quiet meditation and a mural. A mural that would tell the story they all shared. And then one day I got a phone call. And she said, "Christy, we found someone to draw up plans. We found someone to draw up plans for us to make this vision come to life. You can see it now on paper. It's beautiful. What's the next step?" And then a couple of months later, I got another phone call. "We talked to the city. We talked to the city of Pensacola, and they approved our plans, and they gave us a spot, the very spot we had prayed about. But I don't know what to do next." And so she and the parents sat with those plans and pictures, and they would join together this spot now that had been granted to them. And they sat with those plans and that permission for a while longer. Months, then a year, unsure of the next steps, but faithful in their prayer of new hope. They kept meeting, they kept hoping, and they kept praying. And then one day, in the midst of that, I got a text that says, "We found an artist from Mobile who's going to paint the mural for us when we're ready." And then a few months later, another text with a picture. Someone donated the concrete, and they broke ground. And they began making their dream come to life. It took 10 years of hoping and praying. And on Monday, April 24th, the city of Pensacola will have a dedication service for the Garden of Peace and Hope, a memorial for homicide victims. It's not far away. Across from the Wahoo Stadium, you know there's a big empty lot a little further down, closer to Joe Patty, there's a park in the back. Where that pond is and where that fountain is where this garden will be. Out of the ashes of pain and sorrow, resurrection and hope. My friends, God wastes nothing. God loses nothing. God can use the worst life can give us and resurrect it into something new. The cynics thought that they were winning on the last Thursday of Jesus' life. They were certain they had the final word on Friday. They were in control. Despair had won, and even the disciples thought so. But nobody saw Sunday coming. Nobody saw hope rising. Nobody saw love breaking out from the ashes of hate, and nobody saw Jesus coming back until he did. The message of the Christian faith is one of hope, and this hope is anchored in the idea of resurrections, something new coming out of something gone, and it is resilient, and it can outlast a dozen or 100 frustrating jobs. It can outmaneuver 10,000 broken hearts. It can remain positive in the face of a world of cynics. This hope can even overcome the sting of death. In Christ, our past is not our future, not when we get Jesus involved. Bitterness can't linger under the relentless assault of love. And hope cannot die if an empty tomb empowers it. Amen.